Yeah, that's the NFL for you. You know, it's hard to win in this league. And, you know, to have a team like this, to have offense, defense, special teams, players, coaches, all these, you know, all these people here, you know, it's the NFL. And so it's hard to win this league. We're excited, but, you know, we got a lot more to, you know, get better at, a lot more to, you know, progress and, you know, get ready for this week.
We're back. Live with more Rami Makhlouf on 670 The Score in Odyssey Station.
That, of course, was Caleb Williams, number one pick for your Chicago Bears, QB1. I am Rami Makhlouf. This is The Score evening show with you for about another 25 minutes or so. Then I'll make way for Cubs baseball as they try and complete a sweep of the Dodgers in Los Angeles, keep scratching and clawing their way into this playoff race. Joining me now, though, to keep the football and Bears talk going, he is the host of the Athletic Football Show. Derek Klassen joins me on the Circus Sports Hotline. Derek, how are you this evening, my man?
I'm doing great, Rami. How are you?
I love the name of the show. It's very, you know what you're getting. It's the Athletic Football Show. There's no like clever wordplay or anything. It's just the Athletic Football Show. These guys are going to talk football.
Yeah, there's nothing to it. You know, I like to think of myself as a very black and white kind of guy, and I think, you know, we've got the headline for the show kind of fitting into that.
All right, what's the black and white then of what we saw from Caleb Williams in week one against Tennessee?
Yeah, I mean, I think it was a lot better than the numbers suggest. I mean, the numbers were disgusting, right? I think it was, what, 3.2 yards per attempt, under 100 total yards. I think his completion percentage was, like, hovering around 50%. It was not good. And I think people are kind of bucketing it with Bo Nix because he kind of put up pretty similar numbers, slightly mm-hmm. higher completion percentage. But if you watch Bo Nix, like, he's just not even hardly trying to play football the right way, like, at a high level. Whereas, as at least with Caleb, I actually saw instances of, like, okay, he's trying to move around the pocket correctly. He's trying to get his eyes in the right spot. It's just that sometimes he was under pressure and wasn't allowed to fully get there. And then truthfully, the biggest thing to me was he just missed about four throws that he just doesn't miss regularly. Like, he wasn't missing those in the preseason. He wasn't missing them in college. Like, he just had four or five misfires that kind of just seemed like jitters. But otherwise, I thought he played, like, okay. And I think you could see some of the flashes of what you wanted to see. Like, that 4th-and-3 conversion he had, it's like, okay, that's why we went and drafted a guy like this. So it's just, to me, if he can just clean up some of the accuracy, which I expect him to do, I think this is going to be fine in a month.
Yeah, and he said after the game that it was kind of what you just said, Derek, that it was just kind of some missed throws and some of the pressure sort of getting to him and changing where the ball ended up landing. He said the speed of the game, which is something that people talk about a lot with rookies and especially rookie QBs, he said that wasn't really a factor in what his day ended up being, that it was more just errors by him and the defense causing some problems for him.
Yeah, I mean, obviously he sees it better than we do. He's the one out there. But no, that's exactly what it felt like watching him, where, like, again, you could see him trying to progress like a real veteran quarterback and get his eyes to the right spot. It's just there were 3-4 times, especially on a couple of critical passing downs, where he just didn't put the ball where it needed to be. The only, like, rookie-type mistake I think he really made was that 19-yard sack he took, where it took him out of field goal range. Like, that's mm-hmm. You just can't take sacks that are that deep. I know he's the guy who's going to be a playmaker, and I think because he has that play style, there's going to be some growing pains with learning how fast guys are, but that was really the only moment where it was like, all right, dude, we got to not do that stuff moving forward.
You know, I also, leading up to the season, and I started off the show talking about it tonight, a couple of my main concerns and questions about this Bears season, but more big picture about the development of Caleb Williams as a quarterback was, one, is Shane Waldron the right guy, the right play caller and right coach for Caleb Williams? But two, and we can get to Shane Waldron in a second, maybe what you saw from him, but two was maybe the most glaring, and that was some problems along that interior offensive line that I thought the Bears didn't do a great job of addressing in the offseason, where they did a great job with putting skill position players around him. I just didn't love the attention and the resources paid to the interior of that offensive line. How concerned were you by what you saw from the interior of the Bears offensive line on Sunday?
I mean, I'm kind of with you. That was, to me, probably the biggest issue on this entire roster going into the season, right? Because even if they maybe thought that they could get something out of these guards, especially when Tevin Jenkins is healthy. I mean, that's just kind of like a fickle thing to be betting your season on. But then I didn't think they addressed the center position very well. So I wasn't all that optimistic about that, you know, those three players going into this season. And then I agree with you, like this game, it just didn't look put together, both in the run game and in some of their pass protection stuff. So I'm hoping that they can iron it out a little bit moving forward. I don't think this unit has to be great for us to get a good rookie season. I think they just need to be not a complete disaster and at least give him some chances to show that he can be a normal quarterback back there.
Now, you said you think it can get better. The faces aren't going to change. The names on the back of the jersey aren't going to change. Is it just a matter of reps and playing together as a unit that you see room for growth or room between where they are and what their ceiling might be?
Yeah, like I don't know if I would necessarily bet on it to happen, but I think when you have a new offensive coordinator coming in, a new center coming in, I think there is some reason to believe that maybe with, you know, two more months of reps that they can get this ironed out a little bit by the back half of the season. Again, I think even if that happens, it's not like they're going to suddenly be a top 10 interior. I just think if they can go from being what maybe looks like, you know, probably a bottom 6-8 type of interior to at least get closer to league average, that is the hope. But again, I'm kind of with you, like you said at the top, probably going to need one or two more faces in there by the time we get to this point next year or 2 years from now.
Talking with Derek Klassen, host of the Athletic Football Show. Also, you can find him on Twitter at QB Class. That's Class with a K. I brought up Shane Waldron and what I saw from him week one. I didn't love some of the play calls on second and short and third and short. I felt like they were making things harder on Caleb Williams and themselves, and maybe they needed it to be just from a play calling standpoint. And then some of the personnel decisions of really failing to get their five best skill position players on the field at the same time. Cole Kmet, their tight end, was on the field for less than half of the offensive snaps. What did you see in Shane Waldron's debut as the offensive coordinator and play caller for the Bears?
You know, it's funny. The thing coming in with Waldron was it felt like last year with Seattle, it felt like he threw a lot of stuff at the wall, like some weird stuff. Like they were a team that liked to put like two tight ends in the backfield a lot of the time. They ran a lot of 13 personnel. So my question going in was like, is he just like this, or was this a result of, you know, the Seahawks maybe just having some constraints with their personnel that he needed to do this? It seems like he is just like this, because I agree with you. It seems sometimes they had some issues with getting their best personnel on the field. The biggest change to me is, and I know this is putting a lot on a rookie quarterback, I almost would like to see them play out of more empty formations, because if your offensive line is going to be bad anyway, and you have three good receivers in the three guys that they have, and obviously Kmet is a useful tight end too, why not just spread it out and pray that your quarterback can get it out in 2 seconds? He obviously did this a lot in college where he's playing from empty formations and stuff like that. So I almost wonder if that would be a little bit better of a you know, short down answer for them than some of what they were doing.
As far as the other side of the football, can't really complain if you're in Chicago about what we saw from the defense. The first half was slightly concerning, but I tried to keep my cool after the Titans were able to put up 17 points, and that paid off with what we saw in the second half, absolutely driving Will Levis crazy back there in the pocket. How good do you think this Bears defense can be? And did that week one performance maybe raise the expectations for how good this Bears defense can be this season?
You know, I want to say I put them in my top 10 for the, you know, top 10 defensive prediction show we did. So I do think this is going to be a good unit. What was most impressive to me was it felt like around, like, you know, maybe the first few drives that the Tennessee Titans had, they did a decent job on some of their screens, a couple of their perimeter runs, a couple of their, like, let's just stay on schedule type of plays. It felt like after the first quarter, the Bears defense just killed all of those, like all of their screens, perimeter runs, like, you know, a couple of jet sweep type plays. The Bears absolutely stomped. And then once you stomp those plays and put that team behind the sticks, you know, you've got a rookie tackle, a rookie left tackle, a right tackle who's not that good. And this Bears defense was able to kind of swarm Will Levis. And what happens when Will Levis is pressured? He starts to make some Carson Wentz type of decisions. And that's basically how the Bears ended up winning the game. So I thought this was a really good showing for them that basically after, you know, two, three drives, they locked in on what the opposing offense wanted to do and just kind of shut them out.
want to talk about some of the other teams around the division and around the league with you here. But real quick, just in this Sunday's game, Sunday night, it's the Bears and the Texans national stage. It'll be Caleb Williams' first time on the national stage. And really, this Bears team with expectations coming into this season, their first chance to get in front of the country and show them what they can do. How do you see this matchup between those two teams on Sunday night?
I kind of think Houston's just going to have their way. I still you know, have some optimism for what the Bears are going to be this season. I still kind of expect them to be a team that, you know, by the time we get to the end of December, they're still on the, you know, in the wild card type of, you know, like on the graphic. But I just think this Houston team is so good. The way they ran the ball in week one was impressive. We obviously know that on their best days as a passing team, they can put up 400 passing yards if they really want to. And then defensively, I think they've looked really good. I really trust DeMeco Ryans as a defensive coordinator. They've got two incredible pass rushers off the edge. So I just think this is a game where it's probably going to be really hard for Caleb, especially in only his second game in the season.
Yeah. Do you think those offensive line issues we talked about already rear their ugly head on Sunday night?
Probably, thankfully for the Bears a little bit. I do think, you know, the Texans' best guys are off the edge, and I at least think the Bears are actually okay at tackle right now. But, you know, DeMeco Ryans is still a guy who's pretty creative and will send his backers. You know, he'll send a guy like Will Anderson to stunt inside and play on a guard. So I still think they're going to give this interior trouble one way or another.
Talking with Derek Klassen, host of the Athletic Football Show, for a few more minutes here on the Score Evening Show. Rami Makhlouf, your host. Within the division, and I don't root for injuries, but that's one of the brutal realities of this game, and injuries can change the complexion of a division or the league. How much do you think, and we don't know exactly what the timetable will be, but even with a short window, how much do you think the Jordan Love injury changes the picture of the NFC North?
It's hard to say. I honestly, because I have so much faith in Matt LaFleur as a play caller and some of their offensive weapons, like I think Jaden Reed looked incredible. I think Tucker Kraft is a really promising player. Dontavian Wicks does some really cool stuff every now and then. So I think I actually trust the rest of the offensive pieces enough that if either Love has to miss two games or he doesn't look perfect, you know, his first few weeks back, I think that's all going to be fine. I think they'll find a way. I'm a lot more concerned about the defense because this was obviously a unit. They, you know, changed their defensive coordinator, spent a couple of resources to change, and I just didn't think they looked very good in week one.
When you look at that football team and that offense, and you mentioned Matt LaFleur, how is it that he just seems to be able to dial up? Do you get the same sense? He just seems to be able to dial up the right play when they need it. I think back to that week 17 game against the Bears, and at the end of the day, I think they scored 17 points. The numbers didn't jump off the page at you, but in every big spot in that game where they needed a first down or they needed to keep a drive going, he seemed to know the right play. Is that sort of, do you think that's his strongest point is play calling and knowing just what to draw up at just the right time?
I think so. I think it's what you just mentioned, you know, and I think especially as games go on, he typically does a good job of understanding what is working for his team and what is not working for the opposing defense. So I think that's one thing. I think he's also just a guy who does such a great job of understanding exactly what his players are good at and, like, you know, what he has on the table in a given game. You know, I always think back to, I think that Cardinals game they played 2 weeks ago where basically everybody on the offense was hurt except for Aaron Jones, and they just found so many creative ways to get Aaron Jones the ball, and he won them the game. Like I just don't think that many coaches could have pulled off a performance like that. So I really like Matt LaFleur. I think he's a really good coach.
The time frame that we've heard on Jordan Love is 3 to 6 weeks, just based on what we know about a sprained MCL. That's not what the Packers have said. Is it a case where if it's closer to that three-week time frame, the Packers could probably sustain it, but if it's closer to that 6 week time frame, then that maybe changes things about the division and the NFC at large?
I think that's a perfect way to put it, especially because it's not like they have a good backup quarterback situation right now. You know, their two guys are Malik Willis and Sean Clifford, and I'm not the most optimistic about either of those options. You know, maybe if they had somebody like a, you know, Andy Dalton, I think, is a high-quality backup right now. If they had somebody like that or like a Jameis Winston where it's like, okay, we've seen this guy win football games before, they could maybe sustain through that, like, if it was a six-week type of injury. But, yeah, I think with their backup quarterback situation, they need Love back as quick as possible.
Anything else jump out to you in week one? I'll just give you a couple of my observations and as it relates to the Bears and looking ahead at the schedule that they got coming up in the next few weeks. Indianapolis looked like a better football team than maybe what I thought they were, and that's a team that the Bears will see in a couple of weeks. The Vikings, yeah, they were playing the Giants, who are not a good football team, but able to move the ball and score 28 points. And even without their J.J. McCarthy, their number one pick at quarterback, I think they could make some noise in this division if they can keep doing things like we saw on Sunday. Anything surprise you or maybe change the way that you're looking at a team in this league in week one?
I think those are two good ones. Another one that stands out to me is I thought this Jaguars defense, even though they lost this game, holding the Dolphins to 20 points in September, you know, when this is typically a team that comes out of the gates, you know, 100 miles an hour, I thought that was a really impressive. Obviously, they gave up two or three, like, really explosive plays, but, like, it's the Dolphins. The Dolphins are going to do that to you. And they really made them work for every other yard that they gained. So I thought the Jaguars defense looked really good. If that team can just figure out their offense, which it seems like we've always been saying about them, if they can just figure that out, I think they could be a feisty team. Another one that, you know, this isn't really team specific, but it seems to me like, you know, typically when teams were sending pressure at quarterbacks, they were doing these three deep, three under coverages that kind of looked like cover three with just one less defender underneath. It seems a little bit like we're moving more towards four deep, two under type of blitz pressures, which really puts the onus on the quarterback to get the ball out quickly because you're just not going to get those vertical shots. So just an interesting thing I'm going to keep tabs on.
Real quick, I wanted to ask you about one more team that kind of surprised people, not in a good way in week one, the Bengals. They were only able to put up 10 points against the Patriots in week one, and obviously they had the Jamar Chase hold-in situation throughout much of camp. And there just seems to be something off there in Cincy right now. Joe Burrow only had 164 yards. Any cause for concern or even panic when it comes to the Bengals in Cincy?
I'll give them two more weeks because for some reason in the Joe Burrow era, this has just been a team that is not good in September. You know, I know he's battled some injuries previously in other off seasons, and then he has a little bit this off season. Obviously, no T. Higgins in this game. Like you said, Jamar Chase, probably not 100% in football shape with some of his hold-in stuff. You know, he's going to need a couple weeks to ramp up. So I'm willing to give them some grace there. And then also, they had like three just bizarre turnovers in this game that probably won't happen every week. So I will at least give them two or three weeks before I fully hit the panic button. But I'm at least, you know, they're on notice.
Can I give you one more team that I kind of liked them last year? And based on what I saw week one against Washington, man, Tampa can put up some numbers, and that defense is pretty good. Am I crazy to think that Baker Mayfield and Tampa Bay could make a little bit of noise in the NFC this year, and especially within their division?
No, I don't think so, because you know what? They won the, you know, it was a bad division last year, but
right,
they won
right.
It last year. But if Atlanta's not going to be good this year, obviously their week one looked terrible, then the Bucs could just probably win that division again. And like people might forget, the Bucs really gave the Lions a run for their money in the playoffs
yep.
last year, and the Lions kind of barely won that game. So I think Todd Bowles is such a good defensive play caller. Their pass rush actually looked really good this week. Zion McCollum, who was kind of slotting in as a new starting cornerback for them, he looks good when he was out there. So I think there's a lot of reason to be optimistic there. And then like you said on offense, Baker Mayfield is kind of only good at throwing outside the numbers right now, but man, he can rip some of those throws,
yeah,
like some
can.
Of the deep outs, some of the corners, the go ball he threw to Mike Evans, like some of those throws look so good. So if they can continue as an offense to unlock those throws for him schematically, I mean, they've got enough of a recipe to make the playoffs again.
And Mike Evans flies under the radar. I know he got on some people's radar playing with Tom Brady, but before and after Tom Brady, the guy is just a model of consistency at the wide receiver position.
Yeah, he's like the guy you can most set your clock to, right? You know, he's going to get 1,000 yards, but it's not even just that. It just rarely feels like he has bad games, and you almost know the exact beats to the way that a good game for him is going to play out. Like, he's probably going to have one insane catch on the sideline. He's probably going to have one bully ball moment where, whether it's with the ball in his hands or just up in the air, that he's going to make a big play for you. Just a guy that it seems like every quarterback wants to rely on no matter who they are. Like, he's, you know, he's played with 10 different guys, it feels like, at this point. And they all go his way because they all know he's going to come down with the ball and make a play. So he's just an awesome player.
That's Derek Klassen, host of The Athletic Football Show. Follow him on Twitter, at QB Class. That's Class with a K. Derek, really appreciate the time and the insight, my man. Have yourself a great night.
Thank you so much. Appreciate you guys.
And he joins me on the Score Hotline, presented by Circus Sports Illinois. And speaking of that Bears and Texans game, before that game, tune in Sunday evening from 5:30 until 7:20 after the Cubs game for your local Ford dealers pregame show right here on 670 The Score, presented by Busey Bank and Aurelio's. Join Mully, Olin Kreutz, Patrick Manley as they'll get you set for the game. And immediately afterwards, Mark Grody joins Olin and Manley with instant reaction on the Great Clips postgame show presented by Wonderverse. All of it can be heard on The Score and on that handy dandy, totally free Odyssey app. Yeah, I've seen a lot of people saying what Derek said about this matchup between the Bears and the Texans at the very beginning of that interview, which is, it sounds like some folks think that it could get ugly, that the Bears could be on the wrong end of a beatdown in front of America Sunday night against Houston. And I really don't want to see that. I mean, I never want to see that, but I really don't want to see that for what it's going to do to the just the hype and the high that Bears fans came into this season with. I know it's a 6.5 game spread, or 6.5 point spread, I should say, in that game. I'm seeing a lot of people saying to hammer the over on the Texans taking, or to cover, to for the Texans to cover that. Sorry, I'm not a gambler. I shouldn't have even used that. But I've seen a lot of people saying to hammer the Texans covering that 6.5, man. And that's concerning heading into week two. I don't want this Bears team to take an ass whooping in week two after the high of this offseason. And I'll tell you what else I don't like is they're wearing those orange jerseys and orange helmets on Sunday. I don't know about you, Robbie. I am not a fan. I'm not a fan of the orange helmets and orange jerseys. I could do without. I like the all white. Like, if you're going to do an alternative uniform, and they've never done a white helmet, but I like the all white uniform. That I'm good with. I hate the orange jerseys. It looks like they're going like deer hunting on a Sunday night instead of going to play football. I hate those orange jerseys.
No, that makes sense. It's like the camo underneath, and then you have like the orange vest on top. That is what it looks like. It does, like a deer hunter. Like,
it does.
Uniform. Yes.
That's exactly what it looks like. So I hate that. Hopefully their game can be less ugly than what the uniforms are. And it's not the type of blowout that we heard Derek talk about. And a lot of people, like I said, saying to hammer the Texans to cover that 6.5. I did want to mention, I brought it up with Derek, the Jordan Love injury, and I never root for injuries, first of all, just because, you know, these are human beings, and I don't like seeing human beings get hurt just for my entertainment. But also, like, I like beating your best. I like when our best beats your best. I feel better about those wins. I can puff my chest out a little bit more about those wins. But the reality is, and I said this to Derek, if it's closer to that 6-week time frame that the Packers are without Jordan Love, that changes the landscape of the NFC North and just the NFC playoff picture in general. And it's not how I want it, and I don't root for it, but I also can't ignore the realities of it and what it means, what ramifications it can have of a guy like Jordan Love being out for an extended period of time for a team right in your division. Now, he'll be back as long as it is that 3 to 6 week time frame. He will be back before they face the Bears. That's November 17th in week 11. But you could really, really make some ground in the NFC North. And just in the, like I said, just the NFC playoff picture. Only one team is going to win this division. Last year it was Detroit. It looked like Green Bay could give them a run for their money this year. If Green Bay racks up 3-4 losses over a 6-week absence for Jordan Love, it opens the door for the Bears. Again, not how I wanted it to happen. I'm not happy about a dude getting injured, but it does open the door for the Bears or other teams in the NFC to snag one of those playoff spots. My thanks to Patrick Finley. Check out his work in the Sun-Times covering the Bears. Check out the Halas Intrigue pod and follow him on Twitter at Patrick Finley. Thanks to Andre Ware, Heisman winner, NFL quarterback, Texans color radio analyst for joining me, and Derek Klassen, who you just heard, host of The Athletic Football Show. Follow him on Twitter at QB Class. Thanks to all of you for contributing to the show. Thanks to Robbie Triano, helping me put this thing together and on the ones and the twos. Cubs baseball is coming up next. They try to complete the sweep of the Dodgers in Los Angeles. Pat and Ron on the call. I've been Rami Makhlouf right here on your home for Chicago Cubs baseball, Chicago Sports Radio 670, The Score.